Okay, we have stayed away from this health care bill for a reason. While the mainstream was plodding ahead with it for so many months. But now that it's a reality, just what does it mean to you? How much is it going to cost you? If you don't have insurance, what does that mean to you? Up next, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. He'll help sort through this in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Greg Hunter has nearly 9 years network experience as an investigative correspondent. He worked for ABC News and Good Morning America for a number of years as well. Most recently, Greg worked for CNN shows such as Paula Zahn, American Morning, and various CNN business programs. He's been on our show before. His website, usawatchdog.com, and here he is on Coast to Coast. Greg, welcome back. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Good to be back.
I see you're up chipper. You're getting used to these hours, aren't you?
I like your show. I like being on.
Greg, healthcare. What does it mean? Sort through this thing for us.
Well, George, it is. Listen, people who are sick need to be taken care of.
Yes, and I agree.
Agree to that. And it is a good thing to have 32 million people get health care. But there's going to be a cost. But this is going to look pretty good on the way in. And the reason why is because some things take effect right away, and there isn't going to be any cost right away. Right away, or when I say right away, in the next 6 months, you know, children who have pre-existing conditions are going to be, no longer shut out from insurance plans. If you have a child age up to 27 years old, you can leave them on your insurance plan. With this economic malaise we have going on, it's probably going to be pretty good. Also, pre-existing conditions for adults. This will take a little bit longer to get through, but there's a $5 billion temporary coverage that will kick in from the Senate after the president signs his bill, I think, today. That'll take a little bit longer, but it's going to be a emergency fund, a temporary or emergency fund until the main part of the health care bill kicks in 2014. And, you know, a lot of people also, there will be no more kicking you out of an insurance plan, and this will happen when the president signs this, when you get sick. But what people aren't realizing is that all this comes at a cost. Insurance companies aren't like the United States of America in that they can just print money. When they allow these children, God bless them, who have terrible pre-existing conditions into these plans, somebody's going to have to pay it, and it's going to be the insured. The former Health and Human Services Secretary said on television the other day that he thinks there's the one thing for sure that's going to happen in terms of cost is that the health insurance premiums are going to rise.
Yes,
I've heard that from insurance companies. I've heard that from the former Health and Human Service Secretary Mike Leavitt. That is a given. And remember, this plan isn't going to really fully kick in until 2014. So some of the stuff, and I think this is the way this is supposed to be designed because there are voters and politicians design this, and we have a big election coming up in November, and we'll see how this washes out in November in terms of how many people like it and how many people don't. Overwhelmingly, the polls are saying people don't like it. So, but that's the near-term picture of what it looks like. Some of this is going to be pretty good for people who are uninsured. There is going to be a cost, and if you add it up to all the other costs, which we can talk about in a minute, that's a lot of weight on the United States of America.
At this point. We are on the verge of getting our rating dropped as a nation. That AAA rating is going to go by the wayside.
Correct.
How much more debt can this country sustain, Greg?
Well, let me, just so your listeners understand this, there is no time in history that the United States has printed this much money, has gone in this deep into debt. We've got two wars. We just got finished bailing out all the banks. We had the TARP money. I know the banks will say, hey, $700 billion, but we gave it back. We spent that, or we are in the way of spending it. We had an $860 billion, quote, stimulus plan. We have Fannie and Freddie, which Nobody is talking about Fannie and Freddie on Christmas Eve. Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, unlimited the cap. When they first, I remember I was at CNN, and when I first heard this, they said, oh, Fannie and Freddie, when they nationalized it, they'll say, well, hey, listen, 2008, it'll cost between zero and $100 billion. I said, wow, what a spread.
Yeah.
Between zero and $100 billion.
How'd you like to work on a budget that way?
So we're already at over $100 billion. And then on Christmas Eve, Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, unlimited the caps. So we have unlimited liability in the United States, and that's about $6.3 trillion. Now, I will say this about the health care plan. I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. The Republicans, I wrote a post about this. The Republicans know every detail about this plan. They know, you know, we have 4 years of taxes and then 6 years of benefits, and it'll be more than $940 billion, and they didn't score it correctly because they weren't given all the information. That's all true. We just spent $1.25 trillion in a year bailing out the mistakes of bankers, and not a word. Not a word from any of the Republicans, and not a word from the President of the United States, who's trying to cut the deficit. He's talking about $138 billion. That's, what is that, $10, $12 billion a year or something in the next 10 years, or $13, $14 billion a year in the next 10 years. In February, we auctioned $569 billion in debt in February, in 1 month.
1 month.
So your question is, how long will it take? I was just listening to your show about the guy with the, you know, the food and having hurricanes and people out of work. Do you know there's a possibility, according to John Williams at ShadowStats.com, that this thing could go hyper, or the economy of the United States could go hyperinflationary, and that could disrupt supply chains. That could disrupt the putting food on store shelves and goods on store shelves, and having a food supply, according to John Williams, may not be such a bad idea. I hope it doesn't get that bad.
But it could, Greg. It could.
Yes, it could. And I always like to take these guys and say, okay, he's a smart guy, and John Williams has been completely deadly accurate on his predictions. But let's just say he's half right. Wow, we're going to have some big inflation. That's pretty much a given. We're going to have some pretty big inflation. But what really needs to be done, I mean, imagine losing your job, and you turn to your wife and saying, hey, let's go out and get a new car.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go out and buy gym memberships for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing. Does it feel good? Yes. Is it nice to drive in a new car? Sure. Would you do that if you lost your job? No, you'd cut back on everything.
But that car's going to get repoed soon because you can't make the payments.
Yes.
So
yeah,
here we are with what you and I both agree. I had a friend who's still paralyzed. He fell right after Thanksgiving. Thank God he had health insurance. He didn't have enough to cover his flight back from St. Louis to L.A., so we had to get it from the place he fell. But he at least had some insurance. I think, and anyways, Greg, I'm in the emergency room while that's going on. My point is that you look around, and there are a lot of people who are sick. They don't have insurance. They can't afford it. Emergency rooms don't turn them away, but once they treat them as quickly as they can, you know, they're out of luck. I don't think any American should lose one's life just because they don't have the money to get a new kidney or a liver or something like that. I think that's inhumane. The question is, how in the hell do you pay for it?
Well, George, the thing is, if we didn't have two wars going on, if we didn't have bases all over the world, if we didn't just bail out all the banks, if we didn't have Fannie and Freddie nationalized, could we do health care? Yes. But now you add up all those together, And Fannie and Freddie, incidentally, is what a mess. I mean, they have unlimited the caps. They're going to allow these banks to dump all their toxic assets into Fannie and Freddie. This is a $6 trillion, was eight, and they've sold off, $1.25 million of securities, junk, mistakes of other people. But that's a $6 trillion liability to the United States of America. Now, how much of that is going to ultimately be, you know, bad debt? $2 trillion, $3 trillion, $4 trillion? I have no idea.
They're already talking about Social Security is going to be in severe trouble.
Social Security is already in severe trouble, and I wrote a post about it called Tomorrow is Here Today. Social Security is took in $29 billion less than it paid out. For the first time this year, for the first time since the 1980 or in the 80s, that Social Security is taking in less money that's paying out. Now, the ramifications of that $29 billion.
And by the way, the money is gone.
The money is gone. Now they got to go out and borrow money to pay back borrowed money.
Yep.
This is the kind, and this is a huge problem. And the president got the Republicans together, and this is what's disingenuous about the Democratic side. I think it's two heads and one body is what the Democrats and Republicans are. And they should be in a room saying, hey, we got a $6 trillion liability with Fannie and Freddie. What are we going to do about it? I think these guys should take a haircut. Barney Frank, the Congressman Barney Frank made this quip that these bondholders got to take a haircut. And the Treasury Secretary, boom, was out like that saying, oh, no, they're full faith and credit of the United States.
Yeah.
Who's running the country?
Exactly. Now, explain also on the health care, the difference here, as you talked about, the House bill, the Senate bill. And, where was the difference there?
The Senate passed a bill, and in order for the House to not send this back and forth and back and forth, the House had to pass the Senate bill.
All right.
To get it into law. Then the House said, basically, there were two main bills. Number one, we're going to pass that ugly Senate bill. And the ugly Senate bill, the reason why it was ugly, it had the Cornhusker kickback, which was $50-something million to offset the health care costs for people in Nebraska. Then there was the Louisiana Purchase that had $300 million that offset health care costs for them to basically buy votes. Then there's a Florida consideration for millions of dollars in Florida. They wanted to remove that. There were some other things they wanted to do with the bill. That may not get passed. It may not. But what happened in the House, they passed that. The House passed the Senate bill. And that's so they didn't have to change it and then put in language for abortion or whatever. They got to.
Right.
So what happened was they passed that bill. Well, that's going to become law.
All those things, yeah.
All that stuff, they couldn't get that fixed. They may not get that fixed in the Senate version to add that on to kind of, quote, it's called the fix bill. They may not be able to get that done. It may, in all of its ugliness, be put, you know, right on. There was also a consideration for taxing Cadillac health plans. Unions don't.
They're going to try to come out with a bill to fix the bill.
That's right, a fix bill. So, but make no mistake, health care has passed. As ugly as it is, that is done. Now, they scored this bill at $940 billion, and they left out how are we going to pay for the doctors. That's a separate bill. That's something else. So what happened was you have basically two bills. One that says, okay, here's the ugly duckling that came to the Senate. We don't have a supermajority. We can't stop a filibuster in the Senate. So the House is going to vote on it. And this is going to be the deal. Then we're going to vote on another bill, send it back to the Senate, and let the Senate hash it out to fix the ugly bill.
Is that unprecedented? I've never heard of this before.
Usually reconciliation is used for strictly budget items, taxes, tax increases, tax cuts, fiscal stuff. This is really stretching the limits of what it's used for. The Democrats would say, no, it's not. But
so in theory, Greg, if they don't fix the bill that's going to be signed into law tomorrow, these things that are tossed in, these very strange, bizarre billion-dollar items will become law and will have to be implemented.
Yes, and then there's all kinds of other legal challenges that are coming up, and I don't know where we are coming to the break. But
well, we got some time. The states. The states are going to challenge this.
Oh, my goodness. The states are going to challenge. They have a big legal challenge, and the, what they are going to challenge it under is a 10th Amendment challenge. Also, and also they're going to challenge the bill under the
I business, can't help you there.
I can't the Business Act. The I'm having a.
That's right. You're having a brain.
Yeah, I'm having a brain. In other words, they're making the Commerce Act that they're going to. The Commerce Act is for commerce, to regulate commerce, and this is the first time that they're going to tell people you have to buy something. We're going to regulate you by telling you you have to buy something,
or you'll get fined if you don't.
Correct. Or if you get they say the people, the 12 attorney generals who say they're going to file a lawsuit right after the president signs it, and then there's maybe another half a dozen that may get on get on the bill that they're going to get on the lawsuit they're going to file in the Northern District of Florida, that they're saying that is the unprecedented overstretch by Congress to force people to buy something that they could not buy. And people say, well, you know, you have to buy car insurance. There's two big things there. Car insurance is done state by state.
Right.
You don't have a national car insurance plan. You have, you know,
that's insurance. Next.
Yeah.
That's next.
And then the other thing is that if you have a driver's license and you don't have a car, it'd be like somebody telling you you're forced to buy car insurance just because you have a driver's license. I don't know if that's going
to
be.
Now, I understand lenders saying to a guy who just borrowed money to buy a car, you have to have insurance or we're not going to lend you the money.
Yes.
Because we want to be protected.
Well, they do that with houses, too. They say, hey, you buy this house and you have a loan with us, you have to protect our investment. I get that.
Yep, but me too.
But this is something, you know, something is a pretty big stretch. And the thing is, George, you can the fines are going to be in 2016, $695 a year for a fine. Now you think about this: you'd be paying, you know, $200 for an individual, $250, maybe $300 a month for health insurance, and then, there's no pre-existing conditions, so I can just simply pay the $695 fine. That's about $58 a month.
And they'll leave me alone.
And they'll leave me alone. And if I get sick, I'm in. So how's that going to work?
That's pretty smart, by the way. Unless it's $690 a year, every year. Is that possible?
It's $690 a year, yes. But think about it. If you're paying $300 a month.
Well, it's still cheaper then.
Oh, much cheaper. Yeah. And then the other thing is that what they didn't score in this bill is that they have to hire 16,000 IRS agents, and that's going to go on 16,000. That's up 16 billion a year on top of that each and every year to enforce this health care plan and force people to buy insurance. And you have to have people buying insurance because you need the pool as big as possible.
That's right.
To offset all these costs. That's actually what
keeps the tables down, right?
That's what keeps the tables down is having a big pool of people. But I don't know how that's going to work. The other thing that the states are really upset about is, I think it's something like 48 of 50 states are in severe or some sort of financial trouble. Most states, California, New York, Florida, North Carolina, there's at least a dozen states that are, Nevada, in very big trouble financially. And, of course, states cannot print money. They could in the Civil War. But they can't print money. We'll talk more about that after your break.
Let's take some more questions as well. Let's see who's in favor of this. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with Greg Hunter. His website, usawatchdog.com. Well, if you're not a subscriber yet to Streamlink, you can do that for just pennies a day and get downloading, podcasting. It's a great app with your iPhone as well. Streamlink, it's part of Coast to Coast AM. Greg, in your opinion, because we both agree everybody needs some kind of insurance or should be taken care of, how would you have set this up?
I, you know, I I think I'm almost thinking that maybe a single payer system would have worked better. I hate to say that, but I don't know if what they have, what they concocted, because the House knows they have a problem, because they wouldn't have a fixed bill. And therein lies the problem. And you know, who wrote this bill largely were insurance companies and drug companies. They lobbied for this bill, and when it got passed, they all hit 52-week highs, or most of them did. So they're going to have the power to raise premiums, and they really have to, because they have to cover the cost. But one thing I wanted to end up before I stop, all these states are in trouble. They're going to take half of the 32 million people and put them on Medicaid, which is insurance for poor people. Now, they didn't fund Medicaid, but they're going to put it on, and they didn't fully fund this, any of this. And what they have decided to do is say, hey, well, for the first couple of years, we'll pay for the additional Medicaid cost. After that, you're on your own. All these states are suffering severe layoffs in Los Angeles, in school districts,
Detroit,
Florida, Detroit, and the state, that's another reason why the state attorney generals are filing a lawsuit, is that they're saying, hey, wait a minute, you're going to put this burden on us, and we're going to have to be faced with laying off cops, teachers, firefighters, city workers, against paying Medicaid claims. We're going to have to do that, because that comes down to the state level. So that's a whole nother bailiwick that the states that are struggling, because states can't print money. That's another reason why they're filing the lawsuit. But how would I have done this? I don't think I would have done it the way they're doing it now. I almost a single payer, which I'm not really for either, because I don't want government taking over my health care, but a single payer system without all the drug companies, without all the health insurance companies involved, but they lobbied heavily for this, and that can't be good for the people. It could be good for the health insurance companies, but it can't totally be good for the people. But there are some good things in this for people.
Let's go to the phones. Morris in Ontario, California, first-time caller. Hi, Morris.
Hello, Nori. It's a pleasure talking to you. Love your show. What I'm saying is the people are very financially literate still, and what you're saying is like a big wave coming towards the people. And my question is there a way that we the people can choose more than qualified people like Warren Buffett or Robert Kiyosaki or Donald Trump, people that know about money, to help run the system instead of them, like, Freddie Mac making money off the government and making money off us, the people, with taxes?
That's one of the reasons why when Ross Perot decided to run, that he was so popular, because he was a successful businessman. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I'll tell you who has been a great mayor, and it's been Michael Bloomberg in New York. I lived up there for 10 years, and he was a businessman. I think his salary is $1 a year. And, you know, everybody was so worried that Giuliani was leaving office because he was the big hero at 9/11. And, he shepherded the city through all that. And then Michael Bloomberg took over and said, who's this Michael Bloomberg dude? Well, wow, he's been a great mayor. He's really been a good mayor. And it's to your point, sir, that he has business experience. There's no way. There's another guy who's running for office who is, and Bloomberg is, I think, he's an independent. He's a Republican. I'm neither Democrat nor Republican, but Peter Schiff. And he's talking about what we're doing is precisely the wrong thing. We're actually should be cutting expenses, and I think he's right. And I think we should be cutting expenses in a big way. I mean, a big way. I mean, get out of Korea. I mean, get out of Europe. I mean, stop protecting all these other countries. Severe cuts need to be made, and we're doing the polar opposite of that. We're going deeper and deeper into debt with these bailouts and the stimulus plans and now this healthcare plan. Again, if this is all we were talking about, a national healthcare plan, And we didn't have these two wars that we're fighting that we put on the platinum card, and we didn't have all this military bases around the country, about around the world. If we didn't have to pay for Fannie and Freddie, which is $6 trillion, that nobody, they all be in a room. They should have left the healthcare summit, and the next day should have been in a room to have the Fannie and Freddie summit. What are we going to do with this kind of liability? Instead, a Christmas Eve action by the Treasury Secretary. But to your point, sir, yes, what we're doing is politically expedient, but it's not what you would do economically. And economically, we need to cut back. And here's the big problem with all this. The big problem, and what this is going to come down to, the end game, the end result, is going to be a definition, a discussion of what is money. If they had to say, hey, listen, we'll pay for health care, we'll cut Hawaii in half and sell that to the Chinese, that's how we'll pay for it. Or if we had to commit barrels of oil or tons of coal or ounces of gold, boy, they change their tune.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, what are the possibilities, Greg, of states trying to secede from the union?
We had a big bad war over that, and I think we would have another big bad war over that. But this is happening so fast that there is a real possibility. For sure, we're going to have big inflation. As a matter of fact, a guy I read all the time, his name is John Williams. He says, the most recent inflation numbers came out was 2.1%, and his calculations show that the real inflation calculated before 1980 did come down. But it came down to 9.4%. And the problem we've had with these government numbers is that they are massaged, and there are gimmicks in them to make them look better than what they really are. We have much higher inflation than what they're saying. For example, we have 9.4%. And one of his examples that I was reading about on his most recent report, if you took a look at the high price of gold in 1980, it was $850, closed at $850 January of 1980. And you extrapolated that out using the real inflation rate. Do you know what the high price of gold would equal in today's money?
Over $2,000, wouldn't it?
It would equal $7,400.
Wow!
The number you're quoting is that they used the CPI that the government has been using for the last few years would be $2,000.
Right.
So that's what the real inflation rate is. And if you take a look at the dollar index, it's come down about 30% since the beginning of the last decade, since the year 2000. So add that to the losses that you've had with the stock market. And the problem that's going to happen with all these expenditures we have is that the world is taking a look at the dollar and saying, we're not so sure we want to keep using the dollar. Now, will the dollar be continued to use? Yes, but there's all kinds of rumblings around the globe about a special drawing rights, about a super sovereign currency, about another currency.
Well, if people are going to get upset with the fact that we continue printing up dollars for our own use.
Exporting inflation.
These other countries are going to probably say, well, we'll start making our own money. What the heck?
Correct. And China is, they have 100-year plans. And what China is doing is they're the world's number one gold producer. I don't know if people realize that. China is the number one gold producer in the world. Now, there was a time where you could buy pandas. Panda was a 1-ounce, troy ounce coin that you could buy. That they don't sell them anymore. They're keeping all their production. And the reason why is because they're nervous about what's going on. They're looking towards the future. What's the future going to be? It won't be a future full of the United States, in the next 10 years, printing all the money they want and enjoying the standard of living. That's not going to happen.
Let's go to Sandy in Utah, Sierra in Utah. Hi, Sierra.
Hi. I am asking a personal question. I have never taken anything from the government. We're in real estate. My husband's a broker. I work for him. And when you're in small business, you pay for your own insurance, and it's not very good what you can get. I have MS now, and I've been dropped. They want me to pay $3,000 a month for insurance. to cover me. I can't do that. I don't have the money for that. Everything I have saved, I have $300,000 saved for my children. It will all be spent on health insurance or for whatever happens to me. I've never been in the hospital for MS or anything else, but because I have it, I can't get insured.
That's going to change tomorrow, ma'am.
That'll change. That'll change. The question
also,
is...
and I will tell you, ma'am, in the plan that passed the House, one of the good things in the plan, it's not all bad, was that they have a, you know, the insurance plan doesn't kick in for adults until 2014. You probably think, oh, great. However, they put a $5 billion emergency fund in there for people who have, like you, a pre-existing condition.
Well, which is good news for them.
Which is good news for her, yes.
But again, it's a lot of money. What about scam artists who start to sell phony insurance plans?
I'm sure that's going to be popping up. As a matter of fact, they just busted one. It was on ABC News had it on. It was and the federal agents got involved and shut them down. Excuse me, it was a CBS News. So, you know, that's what the police are for. That's what the FBI is for. I'm sure people are going to want to make money on this. But the thing is that when now that we have all these subsidies and these the lack of pre-existing conditions or not being able to, you know, deny somebody for a pre-existing condition or kick somebody out of their insurance plan when they get sick, that's going to happen tomorrow, basically. When he signs his
bill.
When
he signs that into law.
So you're going to be able to go to mainline companies, not, you know, Tom's insurance company. You're going to be able to go to the Cignas, the Aetnas of the world, the United Healthcares of the world pretty soon, especially for this poor woman that has MS, and, you know, buy insurance. And the government will, at this point, subsidize for, you know, emergency or temporary until, you know, the 2014 rolls around.
Are there any provisions for life insurance, or this just simply health
insurance? There is not a provision that I know of for life insurance. Everything I've read is not, because life insurance is really death insurance. It's all about, health insurance.
Okay.
So I don't know of any provision for life insurance. As a matter of fact, somebody wrote me on my and I've listened to everything and read everything I could on this the last few days because I've been writing about it, and I wanted to be on, you know, I was going to be on your show. So
let's go to Wendell. San Antonio, Texas. Wendell, you're on with Greg Hunter.
Yes, I have a major question. I just got over lymphoma non-Hodgkin's just last year, and I just got a humongous bill from Cigna Health, and they don't even pay worth nothing, you know, on my bill, and I had to go to Aetna to help me out a little bit. But the point being is, why is the president making us almost like Canada, or making us, or forcing us to take something that we really didn't want automatically, because, you know, we are the United States of America, not United States of the United Nations.
This is what you know. The president said it himself during the. During the White House meeting with the Democrats and Republicans to talk about health care, is that, you know, at some point we're going to stop talking and we're going to vote, and that's what elections are for. And Barack Obama, one of the things he did clearly run on was a national health care plan, a reform of health care. You may like it, you may not like it. For some people, for the people who are uninsured and the people who, like this woman that called in just a few minutes ago that has MS, that's going to probably be a good thing for them, at least as long as the country stays solvent. And that's a big caveat that I want to put in there. As long as the country stays solvent, as long as we don't have runaway inflation and some sort of financial calamity or collapse, because Jim Rogers was just saying on the air, he says, hey, when the stimulus money runs out, we're going to have another collapse. He just said this just in the last couple of days. Famed investor Jim Rogers, who used to work for George Soros, 29th richest man in the world. Jim Rogers, a pretty smart guy in his own right and very wealthy in his own right. But he was talking about just matter-of-factly that, you know, when the stimulus runs out, what are we going to do? Print up, you know, double our currency again? We're going to print, you know, another couple of trillion dollars, another several trillion dollars to do this? The world is running out of this quote-unquote stimulus. So If people don't like this health care plan, it could get repealed by way of some sort of economic or financial calamity.
And the IRS is going to administer this?
They're going to administer not so much the plan. They're going to administer the people who decide not to. Evidently, there's going to be a lot of people. Evidently, they are anticipating a lot of people saying, now that I have, they can't deny me for a pre-existing condition, I'll just wait till I get sick. So they're going to stand on people for this $695 tax, which is really a small amount of money when you come to think of it. And that, incidentally, that penalty, that $695 penalty, which kicks in 2016, there's a $350, I think, penalty in 2015. That will likely go up. That will likely be increased for inflation and increased for to keep the plan solvent. But that's one of the biggest loopholes that I could see in the plan was, I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'm going to pay $300 a month, for $695 a year. Well, that's $58 a month.
Is this going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court?
Oh, the challenge is going to go to the Supreme Court, yes. Now, that won't stop the bill. When the president signs that bill into law, it will be law. They will start working on it.
It's law until it's either repealed or the courts strike it down. Right?
You are correct. But this is going to be a real challenge for these attorney generals to do this. Now, these aren't a bunch of dumb guys. Now, there is a school of thought out there that says, hey, listen, this is just a bunch of Republican attorney generals, and some of them are going to be running for governor, and they're just trying to grandstand. That could be true. But there's other, like Bill McCollum, he's not running for governor. He's down in Florida, who's the attorney general down there, and that's where they're going to file this challenge to this new law. There's a lot of smart guys that are getting on board. There's 12 attorney generals, and there may be as many as 18 of tomorrow when they, file this lawsuit. So we'll see. But that's going to take several years to be able to get all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, they'll try to fast track it, but fast track is, maybe 2 years. Who knows?
Interesting times ahead, Greg, aren't they?
Yes.
Tell us about the website.
USAWatchdog.com. What I say is I analyze news to give you a clear picture of what's going on. I call, BS on the BS. I take a look at the numbers. I take a look at what people are saying. I want to see if they hold water. What I'm trying to do is I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to give people a clear picture of what's going on so they can protect themselves. One thing's for sure, George. We have some serious pain coming in the economy. Yes, we will get through it, but we haven't had a real recession, a real humdinger since the 70s.
It will be a bump in the road for sure, maybe a big bump. Thanks, Greg. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.